Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, and today we're going to help you find the hottest products to dropship in 2024. Are you ready? Is that good?
No.
I made $1 million last weekend dropshipping. Swipe up to find out how. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to be whatever like you saw on TikTok is not what we're trying to be. But go ahead, John. Do your best.
All you got to do is find the next winning product. Let's look for winning products.
Fucking hell. And then next month, when you've pissed off the 150 customers you got at break-even from Facebook ads, you have to find another winning product and spin up a new store. That's all you have to do.
Yeah. So, obviously, that's not what we're going to teach you. Like, I mean, if I still can't believe that people are getting sucked into this shit in 2023. I thought this stuff was gone, but we keep getting emails, comments in Facebook groups, you know, you name it, anywhere where people can get in touch with us saying, you responded to one today, like, I'm thinking of doing AliExpress dropshipping and this person's offered to set up my site and my ads and winning products for me and blah, blah, blah. Should I do that? Like almost like regularly I'm having people, I saw this guy on TikTok talking about low ticket dropshipping and I'm going to start with low ticket dropshipping and then I'm going to do high ticket dropshipping later. And I'm like, what? What? Like, it's wrong. Wrong. No. Big red. Have you got one of those big red lights you can put on the screen, Ben?
I don't, but I just learned I have AI. Here's some hearts for you, John. Look at that. AI didn't even know.
If you're on the video, look what Ben
can do. Get the Sonoma update for your place. Mac.
But look, I guess this message is really just because we're hearing that so much. This episode, take this as a message to anybody who's thinking about getting started in dropshipping, that the AliExpress, the winning products, the guy who's going to set up my store for me and my ads is not the way to start. It never has been the best way to start, and it continues to really not be the best way to start. I mean, we've talked about that, why that is a lot on this show over time. Yeah. And there's a lot of reasons why it's not the best place to start. I don't know if you want to summarize, Ben, quickly what you kind of said to that the person who got in touch with us like just today, I think, or recently.
Yeah, I just can't imagine where you're like, man, somebody's gonna set up a business for me and like they're gonna find the products for me, they're gonna run the ads for me, and like, first off, you know they're giving this to hundreds of other people, right? And like I don't know how you get sold on that. I'm like, if you haven't spent the time, like going back to our old episodes, if you're just stumbling on John and myself, go back to the oldest episodes of our podcast, high ticket versus low ticket dropshipping, like understand the difference there. And like, I'll give you the cliff notes here, 'cause I got it right in front of me. So like, sell high quality products from brands you already know. When you're selling trinkets from China, the low ticket bullshit, they have no brands. Nobody knows what they are. The products are fucking garbage. Go order off Temu right now and tell me how much you love their fucking products. It's the same shit. You continually have to find the next hot product. It's dumb. You're also doing demand generation, where I think you should do demand capture. So you have to step in front of someone's feed and be like showing them this cool like skeleton hand that clips onto your hand and they'll buy it because it's Halloween. Like, that's really fucking dumb. Whereas people are already searching for name brand pellet grills, name brand outdoor products. There's all sorts of brands and products people are already looking for, and you can become a retailer for those brands. That's what high ticket dropshipping is. And so you want to sell high expensive products, and the reason is it's just as easy to sell a $3,000 product as it is a $30 product. But let's do some math. You want to do 30,000 in sales, you need to sell 1,000 $30 products, right? 1,000 of those creepy hand things that maybe you'll sell. Or you can sell 10 $3,000 products from brands that people are already looking for, products they definitely want, that are high quality products from local you know, if I'm selling in the US, they're coming from US brands that people are already looking for. You'll need less employees for 10 orders. You'll have less damages and returns for 10 orders versus 1,000. You'll have less overhead. And the best part is you won't like ruin your customer base. You won't have a bunch of people who are fucking pissed off about the garbage that you sent them in a heavily taped box that showed up 45 days later. It is a dumb fucking model. I don't understand it. Maybe if you're testing a product before you like launch your own brand, maybe that makes sense. But I genuinely don't know how this exists. Temu is like just waiting to be destroyed because they're selling the same fucking shitty products but have a brand name. Like, don't do low ticket dropshipping. It doesn't make fucking sense.
Yep. Yeah. And not to mention like that, the whole winning products mindset, like this terminology that you're going to build a business and a brand around products. But like that, people go into this with the acceptance that the products are going to stop working after a relatively short period of time. And then they're going to have to find new products that work. Like, that seems really fucking dumb. Like, why would you build a business that's built around products that are going to stop selling, that you actually know are going to stop selling, and then you're going to have to go and replace them and magically find new products that are selling, and the acceptance being that if you don't, your business is literally over? Why would you want to build a business around that mindset? It doesn't make any sense. There is no logic to that. That actually is not a business, because a business is a repeatable process. That's the definition. So if you're saying I'm going to start a business around something that's not going to be repeatable at some point, and if I don't replace that, the whole business is fucked, then you're not starting a business. It doesn't even pass the basic definition of a business, right? So like, I mean, high ticket dropshipping by comparison, you're not just selling one product. You're not just selling one product category often, and you'll sell the same product for years. They keep selling. They've been on the market in often cases for years, for decades in some cases. You're working with brands that have been in the market often for decades. They're established. They don't just disappear. There is no acceptance that, oh, I'm going to sell this product this month, but next month it's not going to work anymore. Like that's what a business is. So to get back
to an actual asset too, right? Like, yeah, you can't sell a low ticket business. Go on Empire Flippers, go on Quiet Light Brokerage. You will see zero low ticket dropshipping garbage on there, but you will see high ticket businesses. I've been part of them that have sold. I've consulted people who have sold for multiple millions of dollars. Like, these are real assets that you're building because they're repeatable, because they continue to grow over time, that you're actually, you know, not just sending as much traffic as you can, hoping you sell a bunch of little skeleton hands for Halloween, and then, oh shit, what do I have to find for Christmas? God, I hope that one of the apps allows me to just, you know, click a button and add these products. It's so fucking stupid. I just don't get it, John. I don't even know how to rant about it because it makes me so frustrated.
Well, let's change this up then. Like, if we're saying that the winning products is not the approach to take, like, you know, going out and building a business around low ticket winning products and going on the product hunt and using product spy tool to work out what other Shopify stores are selling and then immediately sell exactly the same thing that they're selling, like, what's the right way to do it? And so, you know, this is exactly something that we take you through in Dropship Breakthrough. I think this episode will come out while our Black Friday sale is running. It's our biggest deal of the year. Dropshipbreakthrough.com/Black Friday. Go and hit it up if you'd like to get started today the right way to do it. But in that, we take you through exactly how to start a high ticket dropshipping business in a profitable niche. And it all starts, and I'll just run through the steps real quick now, like the broad brush strokes of the steps. And I would recommend people go back and listen to a recent episode that we put out called Learn Who You're Selling To, because that episode is going to give you some useful insights here into how to come up with what you're going to build your business around. But we're focused on the customer. So the first step is to come up with basically a list of ideas of interests, passions, or ideal customers. So we focus on the customer first. And there's some very good reasons for why we do this. It flows through the whole entirety of how you build, manage, and run your business and grow it. It has implications for that whole process. This isn't just about finding products, but it helps us to find products. So go out and come up with a list of 20 ideas of things that people do, right? Or businesses as well. B2B definitely works, right? So, like, just brainstorm it. Let your mind run wild. Look around you. Think about what your friends, what your family do. Go for a walk down the street. What are people doing? What are businesses doing? Right. So, like, for example, I love surfing. Surfing, that's something you do. Ben loves playing golf. That's something that people do. Right. So you come up with a list of things that people do, and you want a business that is defined by that you're serving that group of people. And there may be some different sort of individual customer avatars within that group, which we talked about in that recent episode I mentioned. You don't worry about that for now, right? You want that definition, because when you know the customer you're going to serve, the next question is then, what products do they need to do that thing that they love to do, or that they're passionate about, or that they're interested in? Or if it's in the case of a business, what products does that business need to provide the services that they provide to their customers to solve their customers' problems, right? So once you know, you go through that, and that the next step, you know who you might sell to, you can work out then what products do they need. You can ask the question, are those products high ticket products? Right. So go and look at, you can go into Google and type in the product categories that you think of. So once again, like if I'm talking about people who surf, okay, so they need surfboards, right? They need wetsuits. You know, they might want racks or carriers on their car to carry their surfboards, right? So there's a range of products there. I would go into Google and I would just type, search for those things, look on Google Shopping. What are the prices on those products? Are they generally more than $1,000? If the answer is yes, high ticket products, right? That's what I'm going to then go to the next step of my research. Next step of your research is, can you find suppliers for those products? Can you find brands that manufacture those products? Once again, Google is your friend here. Google, surfboard manufacturers, surfboard suppliers, surfboard distributors, et cetera, et cetera. And you're going to find brands that either supply or produce those products. Those are your suppliers, and you're looking for ones usually that are in the same country that you're in, right? So if you're in the US, you're looking for suppliers who have products warehoused in the US, and you're going to be selling them to people in the US. Once again, one of the advantages of high ticket dropshipping is that you're not bringing stuff in from China. You're selling it, stuff that's already in the US, to people in the US. So your shipping times are what people generally expect shipping times to be. A matter of days, a week at the most, usually. So you go out, if you can find suppliers, you can also look at people at websites for people who are already selling those products and see, do they have their brands that they sell listed, right? Those are potential suppliers. So you can put those onto a list. Now you've got, now you know the suppliers for those products. You want to have a look at how much competition is in the market. Competition is important. I won't dive into this in any depth here, but you want, if you're in the US, you ideally want to see 15 or less direct competitors in most cases. There'll be always some exceptions to that, but that's a good number. 15 or less direct competitors who are targeting directly the same ideal customer that you have. Once again, you're not counting eBay or those big sort of marketplace-y type places as your direct competition. They're not. You're talking about stores. If I'm going to build a site that's dedicated to people who want to buy, you know, who are into golf simulators in their home, your competitors are other sites that are focused around selling those things, right, to that ideal customer. So if you can see 15 or less, awesome. Keep moving ahead. Past that, you want to have a think about, you know, how much traffic is out there. You know, how much traffic, how many people are searching for those products online. Once again, you don't need to dive too far into this. I honestly believe for any products that you can find people's competition and suppliers for, there is enough traffic out there, right? Because if there wasn't, there wouldn't be competitors selling those products online. And this is one of the reasons why we do want to see competition. Because if there are people selling those products online, then there is a market for those products online. It's kind of the definition, right? Whereas if you saw nobody selling the products you've thought of online, then maybe there's not really anything happening there yet. And you might need to do a bit further research. But those simple things are going to tell you that there is a market for your products online. You want to see competition, you just don't want to see too much competition. And, you know, past that, I think, you know, we'll... There's a few other factors you could look into to compare one thing to another. Like you could think about like how big are the products? Are they big and heavy? You know, that's not to say that you can't do big and heavy products, but if you've got two ideas and one is big and heavy and one is small and light, you probably want to go for the small and light one, right? Because that might give you a better, an easier journey. But I mean, those are the main things I'm looking at, Ben. Anything that I've missed out there?
No, I think it's just good to give examples, right? So I pulled up our spreadsheet literally from our course. There's a few in here that we've talked about for sure, right? Like Health Nuts, wellness B2B folks, they're looking at saunas, right? And so you're like, wow, could I sell saunas? Sure. Let's go look. What's the average price? Well above $2,000, right? They go well up to $10,000 or even more. Shipping sometimes could be a nightmare, sometimes could not. Most of these businesses have figured this out, if I'm honest with you. Definitely an enthusiast market at this point. Andrew Huberman has made this sexy. There is suppliers galore in the marketplace for saunas at this point. There is competition out there for sure. It's starting to get a little bit loaded. But again, really look at who is there, because I'm ignoring the one unit at Lowe's or Costco. I'm ignoring Amazon completely, if I'm honest with you. And then there's a lot of people out there who just throw fucking everything onto their site. And so if they're selling saunas and pellet grills and outdoor fire pits and all like fucking everything under the sun, they're not your competition, honestly. Like they're idiots. And so like, you know, go look at who's at your actual competition, who is selling to the same person that you're thinking of. And honestly, the traffic's going to be there too. And so like, that's an easy one. What else you got on this list here, John? People who love their pickup truck. That's one of my favorite ones, right? Like, I definitely live in that part of the world here in Wisconsin. And so, you know, the bumpers, the winches, there's all sorts of things that can go with pickup truck type vehicles here, F-150s, bigger, you know, Silverados in America, that are definitely high ticket, and they fall into this thing. Off-gridders, solar power products, off-grid appliances, things like that. People with allergies, air and water purification products. Like, really think through the human here and you'll start coming onto products. And I would encourage you, you know, if you've just started hearing about high ticket dropshipping, do yourself a favor and ignore any list you see. Anyone who says top 5 products for next year or my 100 products, like, just ignore those. Yeah. First off, we've been through some of those lists in past episodes and they're fucking terrible. And then the ones that they do mention that are actually decent ideas, they were probably good like 5 years ago. And why they're on these lists doesn't make any sense. Like, e-bikes is a good one. I bet they're still on a bunch of people's lists of like, definitely get into e-bikes, bro. That's the dumbest idea you could come up with this year. And we've shit on it before. If you need ideas, look back in our archive at the Good Niche, Bad Niche episodes. John and I have done a ton of them that will really help you think through these. Like, this is episode 240 something, I believe, that we're recording right now, John. We have done so much around the idea of high ticket dropshipping, why it's better, compared it to other business models, showed you how you could start for less than $500, showed you how easy this can be, not easy, simple, how simple this process actually is, showed you examples, real world examples that John and I have built, that our business partners have built, that other people in our course have built. We brought on students who have been successful in this business model. We have done everything possible to show you that we've been around, we're still doing this stuff, and it still works very, very well, and you can build a really great business. And so, I think our body of work speaks for itself, John. I just want who's ever listening to this, if this is your first time stumbling into this because you were looking for the next hot product, I hope this sends you down a rabbit hole of learning about real business and like how you can build a real asset here. And you know, if you're ready to join us, like John said, our Black Friday sale is running now. Dropshipbreakthrough.com/Black Friday. Hop on in. Let us show you over the shoulder exactly how to build one of these businesses from scratch.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business. Not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business, we're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself.
and go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.